God bless you. Well, it's been a good week. You've been a group of good students. God bless you. I was really blessed at how with open hearts you received yesterday's message that I shared. It's one of those truths that young people can easily recoil at. And you just opened your hearts and received it. God bless you for that. I want to thank you for your prayers this week for me. I needed them, and I still need them today. God bless you for your open heart seeking His face, your commitment to the Lord and enthusiasm to follow Him. It inspires people like me. And it blessed my heart this week to see that. So God bless you for all that. I trust as you go home, you'll find the grace to apply to your heart all the things that you heard this week. I don't know what they were because I wasn't here most of the week, but I trust that you can take them home and apply them. This morning I'd like to answer a question that was brought to me yesterday. The question was, how do you go home and give your heart to your Father, especially if you've not had a good relationship with Him? And I would like to just say, I don't know that it makes any difference whether you had a good relationship or not as to how you should do it. It will be a little bit harder to do if you haven't had a good relationship. But I believe we should do the same thing, even if we didn't have a good relationship. There was a point that I made very lightly yesterday on humility, and I'd like to make it a little bit more plainly. To answer this question, in James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord." It tells us to humble ourselves. And this becomes a very important ingredient when it comes to giving our hearts to our Father. There's other areas as well. In preferring one another and esteeming others. And I would have wished to had a little bit more time to go into that yesterday, and I'm going to have to leave that today as well. But we make a move. We make a decision. We make a choice. I'm going to humble myself. It's not going to flutter out of heaven like some rosy feeling and just sort of spontaneously flow out of my life. I need to make a choice. I need to make a decision. And then I need to go carry that decision out. And I'm going to give you a suggestion of how you might carry that out. And it might vary in each one of your lives. Monday comes, or whenever you're going to go home, and you go home, and you arrive at home. And I like you to, if you're one of those that is not living with your parents and you're in someone else's home or whatever your circumstance is, your spiritual authority is what I'm really wanting you to be after here. You go home, how is Bible school? Oh, Bible school is a blessing. God spoke to me there. And the next thing I would suggest you do is, Dad, I need to talk to you about some things. If they don't ask you, tell them Bible school is a blessing to me, and I have some things I need to talk about. So you sit down, and don't push it off a long time. Do it right away. Sit down with your father and with your mother. If you failed in the past, I'd encourage you to open it up and just spill it all out and ask their forgiveness. Clear your heart. And then you look back on the decision that you made, that I'm going to submit and I'm going to give my heart to my Father. And I'm turning my heart. You take that decision and you speak that decision verbally out of your mouth with your tongue. And I'll guarantee you, your heart's going to be pumping. It's not going to be just a few light words that don't mean anything. Because Dad is sitting there and he's listening. And it's fine for you to just cry. Just open your heart and say, Dad, I'm turning my heart to you. I'm giving you my heart. Ask your Father to guide you. Dad, I'm submitting to you. I'm giving you my heart. Would you guide me? Guide me. Please, let me know where I fail. Let me know, Dad, where I fail. I'm choosing to submit under your authority. And I'd like to say one more thing. I could say if, I think I'm going to say when, your dad fails to do that. Please, don't hold it against him. You might have a dad that is not at all prepared to hear such a thing. Have some mercy on him. Don't hold it over his head. Don't hold it over his head. Be forgiving and patient with your Father. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of your Father. All right. Again today, I would really desire that you hear my heart. I hope I can convey it. I pray I can. From God's heart. The title of the message this morning is The Spirit and Message of My Life. The Spirit and Message of My Life. All of us carry a spirit about us. All of our lives are giving a message. And I would like to draw our attention to what spirit are we of? You know, Jesus told His disciples at one point, you don't know what spirit you're of. There are times that we don't realize what spirit we're of. What is the message that is coming out of my life? It's good for us to observe it. Maybe ask our authorities, what is the message that is coming out of my life? And the spirit of our life has a lot to do with the message of our life. The spirit of our life has a lot to do with the message of our life. Therefore, it becomes very important what spirit we are of. I'd like to just bow our heads and pray. Oh Lord Jesus. We plead with You this morning that You would come by the Holy Spirit and touch our hearts. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, would You send let the Holy Spirit descend upon us today, upon me today. Lord, open our eyes. Let us see some new things, some deeper things. Give us grace to be real about our lives. Lord, we want to be genuine. The message coming from our lives, we want it to be Your message. And therefore, Lord, we plead that you'd fill us with your Spirit. And God, we pray, show us where we're of a wrong spirit. Show us, Lord, where we don't portray a right spirit, where the message of our life is confusing and isn't right. We plead with you, Lord Jesus, that you would come, have preeminence here, and rule over our lives and this meeting. Lord Jesus, we beg you for grace to walk worthy of you. Lord, the world looks on the church, and many point and talk about hypocrites. But, oh God, give us the grace to live lives that look like you, Lord Jesus, by the Spirit that comes out of our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, I'd like to read verse 16. There are several illustrations here that we can take out of this one verse. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. The Spirit and message of my life. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And He's telling them, disciples, I'm sending you forth into the world to preach the gospel, to be my witness, to be my testimony, and I send you forth as sheep. But as sheep, you're walking in the midst of wolves. I don't know what your thoughts are about those two, but sheep and wolves are very opposite, are they not? A sheep is a defenseless, surrendered, nonviolent creature. In fact, Jesus was called the Lamb of God, was He not? The Lamb of God. Defenseless, surrendered, nonviolent creature. A wolf is exactly the opposite. He'll attack something. He'll devour it and kill it. It's a dangerous species. He's defensive. If you come against the wolf, he'll stand right up against you and charge you and defend himself if he needs to. A lamb just surrenders. Just surrenders. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep getting sheared. If you haven't, and have the opportunity, I'd encourage you to take it. A sheep gets caught and set on its haunches, and there it sits, and it gets sheared the whole way through. And they just get turned from one side to the other and rolled over until you're done, and then they get up and they sort of leave. Can you imagine shearing a wolf? Be a pretty sorry sight, really. They're very opposite, aren't we? There's a great difference in the spirit of those two, is there not? There's a big difference in the message of those two. When you think about a sheep and a lamb, you immediately think about a spirit and a message from that sheep and from that lamb. When you see a wolf, you also think about the spirit and message of that wolf. And they're very different. What spirit are we of? What is the spirit and the message of my life? And the burden on my heart is that we could set a standard in our youth to have a spirit and message of a lamb. Defenseless, surrendered, harmless, nonviolent. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now a serpent is very good at seeing danger coming, and they're good at slipping away without getting hurt. He says, be wise like that, but be harmless as a dove. Be harmless as a dove. What is the spirit of a dove? Is it not very similar to that of a lamb? What spirit are we of? Now I'd like to go a little bit further on the serpent as well. Here he tells us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. There is another picture in the scriptures about a serpent. If you want to, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm sure you're very familiar with this scripture. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, and know good and evil. And she took and she ate, and she gave to her husband, and he ate, and the whole scenario followed. That was the serpent. He was more subtle than any other creature that God had made. He questioned, did God say that? Have you ever heard that in our day? Did God say that? Oh, God knows if you would eat thereof, then you'll know a little bit more than you do now. You won't be so innocent and ignorant anymore, and he's just trying to keep you ignorant. You won't surely die. And in one sense, he was right. When they ate of that fruit, they didn't just fall over dead like Ananias and Sapphira, did they? But they died spiritually. And the day came that they did die physically. So, there was a partial truth there, wasn't there? But the serpent took it and twisted it. And we'd like to look at that today. Taking something and twisting it. Questioning God. What is the spirit and message of my life? The serpent is deceptive. Did he say the truth? No. He didn't say the truth. But he took the truth and twisted it, and therefore he can get us to think it's truth, when it's really not truth, but rather heresy. Did the reward that the serpent offered turn out to be a blessing? If you eat of this fruit, you're going to get to be like God. You're going to get to be like God. You're going to know what good and evil is. Doesn't that sound wonderful? He has it all painted up, looking real good. But that reward turned out to be a curse. That reward turned out to be a curse. One thing you notice about serpents is they do very well at hiding. They do very well at blending in. They like to sit in a corner somewhere where people don't notice them. They like to blend into their surroundings and just sort of be there. In fact, people can walk right past them and not know that they're there. I don't know if you've had that happen or not. I have. And you're walking, and all of a sudden, whoa, what's that? And there's a serpent. And I wonder how many times in our spiritual lives we walk past a serpent that is lurking there, quietly, taking the Scripture and taking the truth and twisting it. Yea, hath God said? Is it really that bad? Show me that in the Bible. Do you ever hear statements like that? Whatever happened to the heart that wants to be pure, that wants to be holy, that wants to be as godly as I can possibly be for my Lord that gave His life on the cross for me? I was His to start with. And then I rebelled against Him. And He has purchased me back. And now I want to just hold Him at arm's length and, well, I don't want to be any more godly than I have to. It's a serpent lurking under the bushes, twisting the truth, trying to say things. And that serpent lurking there, given the right opportunity, will sink its fangs into us and inject spiritual poison and cause us to go a wrong way and to die. And His mission is accomplished. And straightway, this is in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, and straightway coming up out of the water, He, Jesus, saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon Him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit descending like a dove upon Jesus. And today I would like to take a look at what spirit are we of. Am I listening to the lies and the deceptions of the serpent that is tugged away where He's hard to see, where most of us don't notice Him, and yet He's there twisting the Scriptures? Or am I living under an open heaven with the Spirit of God descending upon our lives in the form of a dove and God's blessing on our lives? This is My beloved child in whom I am well pleased. What spirit am I of? What is the spirit and the message of my life? And young people, every last one of us here today have a message coming out of our lives. Which one is it? Which one is it? Is it the blessing of God descending from heaven like a dove upon our hearts in the form of the Holy Spirit? Or is it a lying, twisting serpent that is trying to comfort our hearts that you're okay and it doesn't matter and they have no business telling you these kind of things? You don't have to be a holy roller. I don't know that you need to roll, but God says you need to be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. What spirit are we of? What spirit are we of? You know, a dove is harmless. It's gentle. It's peaceful. It's calm, it's quiet, it's at rest. You know, I put this dove up here to start with on purpose. It's out in the open and it has nothing to hide. But most of you sitting here had no idea I had a serpent up here, did you? And some of you in the back still haven't seen it. I wonder how many in the front row saw the serpent when you sat down. They're shaking their heads in the front row up here. They didn't notice it. One did. He's right here. Tucked away underneath. He does not like being put up here for everybody to see. He does not like being there. In fact, he'll throw fits when you get him out in the light and expose him. He'll throw fits. And my dear young person, if you're wanting to throw fits in your heart today, as we consider this matter, consider who you're listening to. I beg you, consider who you're listening to. What spirit am I of? What is the spirit and the message of my life? The dove, the Holy Spirit of God, doesn't need to hide. It doesn't need to hide. It's right out in the open. It lives in transparency. This closing over, wanting to be tucked away and not opening my heart, it's of the spirit of the serpent. It's not of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I went through a struggle yesterday, even carrying that thing out of Walmart. I do not have an attachment to snakes, I'll be honest with you. When I believe when God said there's going to be enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent, that's what He meant, and I feel that in my spirit. So this is really not a delightful experience to me to have this thing up here this morning, but young person, the burden of my heart is that we would get the message, what spirit am I of? What spirit am I of? Now first of all, let's look at love not the world. Love not the world. I'm going to go to a familiar verse again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Simply says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world. God is clearly telling us, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And John, he makes it so clear, we don't have to wonder where it's at. He says, if we have a love for the world, then the love for the Father in heaven is not in us. We don't even need to discuss it. He just makes it matter of fact. That's the way it is. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And all that lust is going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now I'd like to read James chapter 4, verse 4. Starts out saying, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I wonder how many of us in here would like to be the enemy of God. I don't think. There's anybody in here, I trust there's not, that would want to be the enemy of God. But he says here, if we're friends with the world, we can kid ourselves all we want that I don't want to be the enemy of God. We are the enemy of God if we love the world. If we're friends with the world, we just automatically become the enemy of God. And thus it becomes very important that we stop and look. What spirit am I of? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't let things of this world even start competing for the spot of Jesus Christ in our heart. Don't even let them start competing. Much less let one of them get ahead. of our love for Jesus Christ. And by the way, and I don't have this in my notes this morning, the Bible says, if we love God, we will keep His commandments. And He says that over and over. Could have a whole message just on that. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus? Is the spirit and message of my life portraying that I love Jesus? And young person, if you could set this standard in your youth and follow it the rest of your life and not listen to those twisted lies from the serpent, you will come out right. You will come out right. Now, I'd like to just bring up a few things that come up in young people. A lot of enthusiasm and excitement about life. And it's been interesting to me how young men can with great enthusiasm discuss all kinds of cars. They know all the models, got it all down, know exactly which year which one was, what motor is in it, what extra boosters you can put on them, which one has which defects, and which one is the one that's the best one of the year, and on you can go. Trucks the same way. Lots of fun talking about four-wheelers. You know, here we go, lots of power. Which one will go how fast and how high you can jump with it and what I did with it. And all this excitement. My friend, I'd like you to ask the question, what is the spirit and the message of such enthusiasm? My friend, where will it take us? Where will it take us? Computers are the same way. There are some people that can hardly talk anything about but computers. Well, are we worshiping the dumb thing or what? And I have a computer. But where is my love? Where is my affection? Computer games. There I sit, playing Avoid the Sheriff or something like that on a computer game. Those are real games, trying to evade the sheriff. What spirit is it of? Oh, it's just a game. Wonderful suggestion from the serpent, isn't it? Wonderful suggestion from the serpent. And we swallow it. What spirit is it of? Is it something that heaven could open up over? The Holy Spirit could come down upon our lives and God could say, My beloved child in whom I am well pleased. I think we know the answer. Be embarrassing to play one of those when Jesus split the eastern sky. What spirit am I of?
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 10 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.